Books and Arts.
Book Review. Inequality. Always with us? The Spirit Level. Why More Equal Societies Almost Always Do Better. By Richard Wilkinson and Kate Pickett.
Some men steal out of need or avarice. Others kill themselves out of despair or murder for revenge or gain. These episodes and individual tales display such striking regularities in aggregate that some of the social scientists who first applied the rules of probability to human affairs questioned the very notion of free will. Society prepares the crime, wrote Adolf Quetelet, a Belgian statistician, in 1835, and the guilty person is only the instrument. The findings of those statisticians' successors that poor children are more likely to fail at school, poor adults to commit crimes and die young, and so on, are nowadays uncontroversial. And policymakers mostly eschew metaphysics. Instead, they try to break such links by spending to end child poverty and by targeting health and education initiatives on the neediest. Yet such attempts are doomed to disappoint, say British social scientists Richard Wilkinson and Kate Pickett, because they conceive of each social ill in isolation, rather than treating their shared root cause. Moreover, they misidentify that cause. It is not poverty as such, but inequality. It is a sweeping claim, yet the evidence here painstakingly marshalled is hard to dispute. Within the rich world where destitution is rare, countries where incomes are more evenly distributed have longer-lived citizens and lower rates of obesity, delinquency, depression and teenage pregnancy than richer countries where wealth is more concentrated. Studies of British civil servants find that senior ones enjoy better health than their immediate subordinates, who in turn do better than those further down the ladder. And the evidence is that the differences in status cause these gradients. Low-caste Indian children do worse on cognitive tests if they must state their identities beforehand. High-status baboons bred in captivity show elevated levels of stress hormones and become ill more often when they are moved to groups where they no longer dominate. What to do about the sickness caused by other people's wealth? Swinging taxes on the rich or smaller differences in pay in the first place, say the authors, citing Sweden and Japan as instances of the two alternatives. A decade ago, even left-wing politicians were intensely relaxed about people getting filthy rich. Now, as it becomes clearer that some of the rich got that way by theft, the idea that they have also caused injury more subtly will gain a readier hearing. Too ready, perhaps. What if the price of greater equality is lower growth? The received wisdom, admittedly looking a little threadbare right now, is that rich rewards are necessary to stimulate the innovation on which growth depends. No loss, say the authors. We have got close to the end of what economic growth can do for us. But that is a claim that needs to be supported, rather than simply made in a few sentences. If our ancestors had declared themselves thus satisfied, we would be without many things that we value, and that they would have valued too, could they have imagined them. Should we be ready to dismiss joys we have never known?